Let us now come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we come before you this morning with full of joy, indeed rejoicing that Emmanuel has come, God with us, and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank you that today we may remember his birth, celebrate it, rejoice in it with all those who've come, saints who have come before us, for that great wonder that you have done, that your great Son would take on human nature, become like one of us through and through, to indeed lead us into heaven, be our great Redeemer, fulfill the law, fulfill the punishment and the satisfaction, the sacrifice of the law, that we may be your people. And so today may our eyes be once again on him. May we rejoice. May we share that joy with friends and family and as brothers and sisters and give you praise. For truly you have delivered us from sin and death. May we then also see the wonders of what you've done as we look to the scripture, as we listen to that well-known story again, and be amazed anew at truly what you've done, and praise you and glorify you and your great name, that you, despite your greatness, would humble yourself to, yes, being your Son, even being born in Bethlehem, in a manger, away from all the eyes of the world, so that now our eyes may be on him as the hope of us all. So bless us, whether we are here, whether we are at home, whether we are sick or under the weather, whether we are rejoicing and looking forward to the rest of our day. Bless us all as we look to him and praise you all the more for that wonderful gift you give us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let's now read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. We're continuing the series on the Christmas canticles, those songs. We are on number 3 out of 4. So though being sick last week wasn't very convenient, it did mean that we are going through the canticles in order now, instead of jumping ahead to Simeon's song and then now coming back to the Song of the Angels. So I guess there's some benefit to that. We get them now in order, and so hopefully then a couple weeks from now we'll look at the Song of Simeon. It's the last, a fourth song. But this morning, the Song of the Angels. So Luke 2, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And so far, reading of God's word for us this morning. Let's now then also sing of those shepherds watching their flocks by night. We'll sing hymn 21, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. So our text this morning is that song of the angels. Verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, generally the end of the year introduces a time of reviewing the greatest hits also of the year. I mean, already, perhaps today, in the last couple of weeks, around Christmas time, you've been going through the greatest Christmas songs, perhaps your favorites, and those who are shared as favorites by many, many people. But then once the Christmas season kind of ends, there's some more reviews going on. You know, radio stations may just go through all of the hits, all of the greatest hits of all time. Now, we've already looked at two of the songs that are found in the Gospel of Luke, the Song of Mary and the Song of Zechariah. And as I mentioned, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll also look at the fourth one, the Song of Simeon. And though each song has its own character, its own beauty in a way, there is just something very special about the third song, the Song of the Angels. I think it's rightly been said by some that this is kind of the highlight of the songs in those first two chapters. And it's for a couple of reasons, as we'll look at this morning. As we celebrate the birth of our Lord, let us look at what the angels teach us in their song. Glory to God in the highest. Or to use, again, the Latin titles as we've been going using as we've been going through them, just simply Gloria, glory. Now, part of the greatness of this song comes from its context, its setting, its audience, and really the moment. It's the beloved Christmas story. The shepherds are watching their flocks by night. Here are men. They're doing their duty. They do it every night. They're watching the sheep. They're doing so near Bethlehem. In many ways, it just seems to be like any other night of the year. But then an angel appears. And not only that, the glory of God shines around them. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, if we know the first couple chapters, and especially in the last couple weeks, we may have been reading them at home and at school, we know that angels appear more often. Gabriel appears to Zechariah, there's appearance to Mary. They all bring messages. And every time an angel appears, he is clothed in heavenly glory. And yes, people are scared, terrified when they see such heavenly beings. Glorious, yes, because an angel is an ambassador of God, a messenger clothed in his glory. But what we read adds something more. It's not only does that angel appear in glory, it says that heavenly glory, the glory of the Lord, shone around them. What these shepherds experience is something else, something additional. Heavenly glory is appearing on earth. And not just anywhere on earth, in a field near Bethlehem. That glory is the ultimate sign of God's presence. It's usually reserved for stories about the tabernacle. God, glory of God, comes down. Temple is built. Glory of the God comes down. Or, for example, when these impressive stories, for example, when God leads Israel out of Egypt, it's the glory cloud that leads them out and points the way and is that beacon at night. And now again, it appears. In that dark night, light shines, glorious light, light of God's presence and his majesty, just as these angels see, or as the shepherds see an angel. Do you realize that whatever's going to happen next, it's going to be important, it's going to be great. Something glorious about it. And sure enough, as that light shines in the darkness, it comes with a message that light has appeared in the dark. A Savior has been born, and shepherds will find him, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. The Christ, the Messiah, has been born. All of these fulfillments, all of these promises, are being fulfilled that night. Promises of salvation and of glory for Israel. It's this wonderful news of gospel that a Savior has been born. And to underline those words, suddenly this great choir appears. A great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Gloria in excelsis Deo, as the first line of the Latin is. Just in case you're wondering what you're always singing when you sing, Angels We Have Heard on High. It's just this song, the first line of it. And what's striking about this song is about the four Christmas songs, it's the shortest. Just two lines. It's maybe a little bit surprising, isn't it? It's a momentous occasion. All of these angels appear, it's a great choir, it's a heavenly song. Maybe we expect something that is a little bit longer than Mary's or Zechariah's song. mean, they did a wonderful job. They blended their own hope and joy with Old Testament prophecies, making these wonderful songs about their hopes and joys of this coming Messiah. But nope, not that evening. Just two lines. One looking up to God in the highest, and one looking down on earth, and the men, the peace to come. So in that sense, it still covers always the fullness of heaven and earth. And just that one song, those two lines. And they begin, glory to God in the highest. There's one theme in all of the songs that we've looked at so far. It is that call to praise God. Remember what Mary sang? First line, magnify the Lord, make him seem great. Zechariah began with, praise be to God. And the angels too start with that. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in high, in heaven, his heavenly throne and temple. Glory to God who is that great Redeemer who has sent his Son to save. Glory to that God who lives on high and is worshipped by crowds, myriads of angels, worshipped and adored by the heavenly host. If we look at it a little bit closer, though, what we may see, say, kind of is a little bit different from the angel song compared to Mary or Zechariah, is their focus on that highest, that heavenly glory. There's another reason why the Gloria has that climactic character. Because if there's one thing that God conveys in all of these songs as they've been recorded and shared with us, is that things are changing. Kind of the point of this, of the beginning of Luke, saying things are changing. Worship is changing. Mary's song, think about it. If you remember a couple weeks ago, if we read it again, Mary's song was all about the radical change that God would bring. The lowly and humble would be lifted up. The poor and empty would be filled with good things. She was excited about the change that would come. Additionally, both Mary and Zechariah reflect on the change that's coming. The Old Testament, a time of promises, but not their fulfillment in reality, is now being changed and replaced with a time of Christ and fulfillment and of truth. Old Testament gives way to the New Testament. There's this change from focusing on the temple, a wonderful temple. It was great. It was a wonderful building and a sign of God's presence and promises that he would always be their God, that he'd always be with them. But it gets greater when it's Jesus Christ who comes. He starts to overshadow the temple. And we'll see that even more as we look to the Song of Simeon. But all of this also ties together with a change of focus from yeah, that's what's here on earth. That earthly temple, that earthly worship, that earthly Jerusalem, to the highest heavens. To a heavenly temple, a heavenly Jerusalem. Of worship that is done in the presence of God in on high. It's time of change, time of transition. That's why we get these new songs to accompany us, to accompany this transition and help us to celebrate it. And nothing shows us more than the choir of angels singing glory to God in the highest over those fields near Bethlehem. Because in that moment, it is as if the curtain that's there between heaven and earth is just lifted, just taken away for a while, so that we get to peek in and see something of heavenly glory and have heavenly worship. The angels announce that something far greater than this, than the temple has come. The Messiah, the Son of God, has been born. And that news is accompanied with heavenly glory. The song of the angels announces that the transition from a heavenly temple to from an earthly temple to a heavenly one. And so it has that wonderful heavenly, highest heavens focus. And yet that also draws out that this song is such a song of contrast. Because doesn't that just contrast with their setting? God is revealing, revealing heavenly worship, pulling back the curtain just a little bit. And he's doing that, though, at night in Bethlehem, just to some shepherds in a field by night. This great company, accustomed to singing God's praises in the highest heavens, in his highest court, is now doing so to shepherds in the night. Yes, even the glory of God that so rightfully dwells within his heavenly temple fills it there. And it is otherwise, whenever it comes to earth, is used to gold and precious materials in the tabernacle and temple, now just shines around the shepherds. In that moment, so many of the wonders of heavenly worship have come down in the field of the shepherds. And it's so interesting because on one hand you may say, yeah, heaven, the highest heavens, the heavenly temple empties in a way, comes down. Because, I mean, that is the Christmas message as Christ, the Son of God, the glory of his Father who is there with him, descends and is born for our sake. Yet in another sense, and we may even just say that the shepherds are brought into a little bit of heaven. Glory shines around them. They hear the angel choirs. They get to experience it a little bit. What that heavenly worship is like. It's one of the wonderful contrasts of the song that the angels sing of glory to God in the highest. That glory is being given because their king, their great high priest has been, and our great high priest has been born in the lowliest of low. And so they sing over the fields of Bethlehem. Heaven has come down in Christ and then now leads earth in heavenly worship. For us today is just a reminder also for Christmas as to how Christmas sheds light on our worship, even here today. Now, we don't worship in a temple anymore. We don't even make our churches overly glorious, usually they're just more functional. That's fine. Because the glory of our worship is found in Jesus Christ. And we praise him with the angel choirs in heaven. Our worship may not look like much, may sometimes not even sound like much, may not even be that glorious setting. May not even be done by glorious people. But on Christmas Day, the shepherds sang with the angels of the glory of God in the highest. Those angels who knew something of heavenly glory. They had seen it. They had adored it. And they say, shepherds, come and join in. And guess what? The shepherds don't join in because they got to see a glimpse of heaven. They don't join in then. So what do they do first? Shepherds go to look for Christ. They go look to see Jesus, the fulfillment of all of these promises, their Savior. And it's only when they've seen him that they too add their voices, glorifying and praising God. It's only then, in Jesus Christ, that heaven and earth unite in praise for the great King, Jesus Christ. Angels and shepherds join voices in glorifying God. In some ways, you can hardly think of a stranger combination. Yet, isn't that the beauty of what God is doing? God brings all those, no matter whatever the walk of life, whatever voice, together to praise his Son. Look at us. We get to praise his Son with the angels too. And also, isn't that strange of a combination? God reveals his heavenly worship in ways like that all the time. David himself may have shepherded those flocks, their flocks in those same fields near Bethlehem. And who did most for all of the worship in the Old Testament? If it wasn't David who wrote the Psalms, who even before he died organized the temple worship. Starts as a simple shepherd, and yet heavenly worship revealed through him. The shadows of heavenly worship revealed through him. So also this morning, don't just focus on what is going here on earth. Consider what the angels are doing. Consider how they lead us. How we may join our voices to them. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect. And the highlight of it all, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. In our worship, in our Christian life, we come to heaven and earth united in worship in the highest heavens, centering on the great King born in Bethlehem. Second line of the song. In the second line of the song, the focus changes. From the highest heavens to now here on earth. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. The angels have the wonderful announcement that the coming of the King also means peace on earth. This is the song of contrast, as I've mentioned before. In the angel choir sings, "Glory to God in the highest over the fields of Bethlehem." And it's angels, this heavenly host, this heavenly army, that gets to sing of peace. And yet it's that great contrast that also says so clearly that peace has come. You know, nothing speaks of peace more than that armies, soldiers, get to announce it. These angels who have been witness to and participants of the greatest battle ever that has ever been going since the fall into sin, since sin entered God's good creation. These warriors of countless battles once again appear in battle formation, line upon line, those thousands upon thousands, a heavenly host assembles. They all in glorious gear. Because their king has gone out once again to lead them. This will be the great redemption. This will be the unfolding of the grand plan of salvation. But instead of drawing weapons, instead of going to war, they come to sing. They come to sing of peace on earth. There's a likely sense in which this important theme in the songs, I mean, three of them out of the four speak of peace or mention it in some way, is meant to be a contrast to the world in which it was written, the world in which Jesus was born. It was in some ways a world at peace, a Roman peace, especially under Caesar Augustus. You know, we mentioned him at the beginning of Luke 2. He's mentioned, you know, there's finally some peace because there had been civil war for so many years. And finally, great Caesar Augustus, he brings peace to all the people, to all the Mediterranean world in a way. And guess how he did it? Yes, he sends out his armies too. He sends them to the most troublesome areas and says, "I'll station you there. You keep things under control and then we'll have peace." His troops went around bringing peace, but they didn't do so by singing. How these angels point to a different peace, a heavenly peace. a peace that comes from God's throne. Every Sunday, we hear that blessing again that God sends us on our way with his peace. The end, yet also the fulfillment of worship again, when that priestly blessing, peace, shalom, a fullness, a wholeness, a rest, a quietness, all is coming from the God whom we worship. It's in his temple, his presence, that God promises that we'll find peace. And as we get to this climactic song of the angels, the heavenly worship song, God sends his angels to just announce it once again. Peace. Peace on earth. The Messiah, the great King, has come to bring peace. Peace with our God. The peace on all men on whom his favor rests. That's really what we see in every aspect of the Christmas story. This is what underlies it all. God has shown us his favor. He sends his son to be our Messiah. He rolls up the screen between heaven and earth so that we may join in with the angels. This movement to heavenly worship is making strides. Heaven is reopened. We get to join the angels there. The angel army sings of peace. Every bit of it, all of it, is a testimony to the favor that God shows us. His undeserved good favor on all who believe and all who will follow Christ. All who, with the angels and the shepherds, will look to Jesus as the great Savior. And so the song of the angels once again uncovers more of the glory of Christ's birth. It's that the Prince of Peace has come. Kings, governments, Caesar Augustus, they can all promise peace and protection. We can try to ensure ourselves against disasters. We can do all of that to pursue some peace in life. And yet, we probably all have to recognize we see so little of it, both in ourselves and in the world. Because we cannot, of our own, make that peace of God. And nothing else but his peace will actually guard our hearts and our minds. It's one thing that we've learned, probably especially over the last couple of years. I mean, this year again, Christmas celebrations are colored by the situation we're in. We keep on praying the Lord for change. That desire for change and an end to pandemic, an end to restrictions. Change to health for those we love. And yet we also realize that, you know, even if God sends us change, how long will our peace actually last? Christmas reminds us of where to find that peace. Because what did Christ come to do for us? To change our circumstances, to give us a change of scenery. No, that's not what we see and hear in that angel song. Now, heaven is opened. Peace is proclaimed. The amazing favor of our God is shown to us as he sends his Son to unite heaven and earth, to lead us as that great high priest into God's heavenly temple, to teach us the worship of divine glory so that we may find peace. Where? In the presence of our God. Peace in the glory of the Lord. Peace in heaven and earth united together in that great Prince of Peace. The real change we need is just so different, more radical. A change of heart, a change of allegiance, a change of worship. And that's what Christmas and the angels say he has brought. That's what our Savior brings to all who come to him, to all to look to him. And so, again, as we celebrate Christmas, see what God does in his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Like the angels, like the shepherds, have your eyes on him. Let the heavenly light shine in our hearts. Jesus, the great Son of David, who leads us in heavenly worship. Jesus, the glory of God in human nature. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. See him and sing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. Amen.